If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans, the third chapter. This evening, missionary Daniel Parks, affectionately known as Moose, will be here to preach for us at 6:30 this evening. We'll have a time of fellowship afterward, and the men will plan on meeting in the study for scripture reading and prayer before the service. Also, I have this announcement. Brandon Holbrook is in the hospital in what sounds to me like a very serious situation. They found out that he's got an enlarged heart. He's got congestive heart failure and a leaky valve and is not a candidate for surgery. So they're going to try to kind of treat this with medication before they do something a little more drastic. So we want to remember him in prayer. All right, Romans chapter 3, we'll begin our reading in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, without our obedience to the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. All right. Let's stand together as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
Sabbath day, that day of rest, was sanctified and blessed to point us to our Savior Christ, in whom alone is rest. That legal Sabbath in the twin, Christ died and rose again. Sabbath that remains, a rest that's found in him. Come unto me, the Savior said, and I will give you rest. Oh, weary sinner, cease from works, trust Christ and find sweet refreshment for my soul. The rest of faith is rest. Ceasing from works, I trust God's Son. Christ is my Sabbath rest.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn now to 475. Sing it to the tune that's in the book. 475.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. The King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, child and forever I am.
Let's turn back to 232. 232.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All He has promised that He will do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there. His due, hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over.
Scripture reading will be taken from Joshua chapter 2. You might want to mark that in your Bibles. We'll spend the bulk of our time this morning in Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Thank God for his word. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how thankful we are that you have given us one more opportunity to hear your gospel preached, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is salvation, life, and forgiveness of sin found in him. Father, I pray this morning that you would exalt the name of your Son. Enable us to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do here this morning. And Father, I pray you'd bless your word. Cause it to go forth in the power of your Spirit. Don't leave us to ourselves. Don't leave us to human intellect and ability and power to preach your word or to hear your word. Father, I pray in this hour that you would send your Spirit, that you'd uphold me with your Spirit, that you'd speak to my heart and open my mouth to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in clear and simple terms. And that you give your people who are gathered here together this morning a hearing ear and a believing heart that would enable us to leave here believing in and rejoicing in Christ our Savior, that he is all of our hope. Father, we freely confess how dependent we are upon thee. We're dependent because our works are nothing but filthy rags. The very best things that we do are filled, corrupted with sin. And how we need your grace, how we need your mercy, how we need you to give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe him, trust him, look to him, and him alone. Father, we're thankful for your blessing to this congregation over all these many years, how richly you blessed us with your word. And Father, we pray that you'd continue to bless your word. For your name's sake, continue to bless your word as it's preached here, to your glory, for the good of your people, for our edification, our salvation, our comfort and assurance. And Father, we pray that you'd bless us this morning and again this evening as our brother Moose comes to preach to us. Father, bless him in preaching this morning there in Crow. Bless him as he travels here and in preaching this evening. Give us a special time of worship and fellowship, we pray. And Father, for those that you brought in the time of trouble and trial, we pray for them. We pray for Brandon at this difficult time that, Father, you'd undertake in his behalf to heal and to strengthen him. But be with the doctors and nurses that treat him and give them wisdom and understanding of this problem. And use them as an instrument to heal him and restore him, Father, we pray. We continue to pray for Johnson and others, Father, who need you especially. Be with them. Thou art the great physician. You're our comfort, our hope, and our peace. Comfort the hearts of your people with your presence. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
From the cross.
crimson flow. Keep my heart fixed on thy road, dripping from the cross. Jesus, thou hast loved us so, though we be so gross, saved us by the living flow, dripping from the cross, all because he loved us so. Sustained the crimson flow. Keep my heart fixed on thy word, dripping from the cross. Sick and faint my soul did sing, poisoned by sin's draws. But relief came by the stream, dripping from the cross. Thoughtless that for sin I owe, counted not my loss. Grateful now to view the flow, dripping from the cross, all because he loved us so. He sustained the crimson flow. Keep my heart fixed on thy word, dripping from the cross. Worldly pleasures once my dream, tempted by their gloss. Scarlet stream dripping from the cross, all because he loved us so. He sustained the crimson. From the cross.
First, if you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Titled the message this morning, A Harlot's Faith. We'll begin in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, Rahab was a harlot. A lot of the old writers try to make her out to be an innkeeper. They say she wasn't a harlot. She just owned a hotel. And I don't know why they do that. When they do that, it minimizes God's grace. Rahab was a harlot of the basest sort. And that's who Christ came to save. The only hope that a harlot has to be saved is grace and faith, doesn't it? Christ came to save sinners. He came to save the chief of sinners. Christ didn't come to save good sinners. He didn't come to save sinners who sin less than other sinners. Christ came to save the worst of sinners. And let's be clear, when we talk about Rahab this morning, we're not talking about Rahab. We're talking about you and me. If we do not see ourselves as the worst of sinners, we're not a candidate for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't think of ourselves as better than Rahab. Like, you know, well, if it's so hard for God to save Rahab, then he can save me, you know, easily. We ought not be thinking that. We shouldn't think of ourselves as better than Rahab the harlot, because we're not. We're not. Rahab was a harlot who sold her body for money. You and I are worse. We're spiritual harlots who have sold our souls under sin, and we'll try to do anything that the law tells us to do. We'll try to do anything that works religion tells us to do in order to earn salvation. We've sold our souls under sin. And in God's eyes, a spiritual harlot is worse than a fleshly harlot. So we're worse than Rahab the harlot. But the good news is, that's who Christ came to save. He came to save harlots. There are four women who are listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus. This shows us a picture of who it is that Christ came to save, and Rahab the harlot's one of them. Rahab the harlot is listed in the genealogy of Christ the Savior. He came through that line of Rahab the harlot. The first woman listed in his genealogy is Tamar. Tamar played the harlot with her father-in-law, Judah. Second is Rahab, the harlot. Third is Ruth, the Moabitess. Now, the Moabites were a race of people who were cursed of God. The Moabites began with an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. One of those Moabites listed in the genealogy of the Savior. And fourth is Bathsheba, who committed adultery with David. Those are the four women listed in the genealogy of our Savior. And that shows us who Christ came to save. Christ came to save a people from Adam's cursed race. They're a sinful people. They're spiritual adulterers. They're spiritual harlots. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to save those people by his grace. Now that's how Rahab was saved. By grace. By grace. Now the children of Israel had left Egypt. And because of their sin, for 40 years, they wandered the desert. Wherever God led them, that's where they went. And the children of Israel came to the edge of the promised land. Moses was still the leader. He had strength and vigor. He was still the leader. But Moses could not lead the people into the promised land. Couldn't do it. Because Moses represents the law. And the law can never lead anybody into rest. The law can never lead anybody into the land of promise. The land of promise was the promise of God, given to a people by his grace. Well, then you can't earn it, can you? You can't earn it through the law. So Moses could not lead the people into the land of promise. And Moses couldn't go to Jericho and bring Rahab out and save her alive. because the law will never deliver anybody from God's justice. Jericho, where Rahab lived, we saw this last week, is under the judgment of God. Well, the law can't lead anybody out of judgment. The law can't save anybody alive. The law can't make anybody free. So Moses had to die. So that Joshua, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, could become the leader. Joshua, the picture of Christ, the Old Testament name for Jesus, he can lead the people into the land of rest by his grace, by God's grace. Joshua can go to that city and save Rahab the harlot alive, set her free, and bring her out by grace through faith. Now, harlot, Rahab the harlot was saved alive out of Jericho, wasn't she? Why? What does the Word of God say? By faith. By faith. She was saved alive. And everybody else in that city that was not in the house with Rahab perished in one day. Why did they perish? The writer of the Hebrews says because they believed not. That's what he says. They perished because they believed not. They perished because they didn't have faith. Well, that tells me faith in Christ is very, very important. This is a picture of salvation. There's no salvation without believing Christ. You and I cannot be saved unless we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of faith saved Rahab? Now, I'm interested in that. I want to know that. Because if I'm going to be saved, I'm worse than her. So I've got to have the same kind of faith. Rahab was a harlot. So am I. So are you. So what kind of faith will save harlots like us? What is the harlot's faith? Well, I want to give you six marks. Six marks of the kind of faith that harlots like us need. Now turn back to Joshua chapter 2. Number one, Rahab had the faith of God's elect. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now here's how I know that Rahab was one of God's elect. God only gives faith in Christ to his elect. Faith is the gift of God, and he gives it to his elect. That's why in Titus 1 verse 1, the Apostle Paul called faith the faith of God's elect. This is the faith God gives the people that he chose to save. And we find out about it when God sends his servant to us to tell us about it. That's what these spies, they came to this city. This is a large city. It was a large, well-defended city. It was a hugely populated city. And out of all the people in that city, these spies just so happened to find Rahab the harlot. Of all the people they could have talked to, they talked to Rahab the harlot. God made their paths cross Rahab the harlot. You know why? Because Rahab was a chosen object of God's mercy. And he crossed her path with these men. It was no accident that of all that mass of people, those spies found Rahab. And I'll tell you something very sobering. It's no accident that you're here this morning. It's no accident. Maybe God will give us ears of faith to hear. And I hope so, don't you? Because that's the only way Rahab could be saved, is if God chose to save her. She's a sinner by birth, a sinner by choice, and a sinner by practice. She'd never choose God. Rahab lived in a city that had been cursed by God, condemned for destruction. Well, how can that woman ever be saved? This is one way. God's electing love. It's the only way. And the same thing is true about you and me. All we do is sin. That's all we do. And our works that we do, what we think is the very best things that we can do to make God happy with us, to make it easier for God to save us, all those works do is add to our condemnation. They don't make us better. They just add to our condemnation. We are as disgusting as an common street harlot. Does that offend you? If so, we are as disgusting as a common street harlot. And we come by that nature honestly. We've been born into a race cursed by Adam's sin. So the only way sinners like you and me could ever be saved is if God chose to save us before the foundation of the world. And here's how I know that Rahab was an elect of God, one of God's elect. She had faith that acted. How is it I know Rahab had faith? Her faith acted. Look at verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now Rahab protected those spies. And when she did, she was acting in faith. She was acting in faith to protect God's people. And this is a big deal. She put her life on the line. If they found out she was not telling them the truth, they'd kill her right on the spot. She put her life on the line to protect those spies that she just met. Now, why would she do that? She may have known these men that came into her house looking for the spies. She may have known them for years, maybe all her life. Why would she hide these men she just now met? Faith. She believed God. I know that's so. Hold your finger there. Look at James chapter 2. This is the way we know Rahab had faith in her heart. It was by her actions. James chapter 2, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified. And not by faith only, not just by saying he has faith, his works are the evidence he has faith. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Her faith was, she wasn't, her soul wasn't justified. This is the evidence of her faith when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith acts. Her faith acted. Now, you can't separate faith and love. Rahab believed God, so she loved God, and she loved the people of God. That's why she was protecting them. She put her own life at risk to protect them because faith and love act. Saving faith willingly and lovingly believes Christ and receives Christ. Saving faith willingly and lovingly believes the gospel. Saving faith willingly and lovingly receives God's people and chooses them over the world. Now that's a harlot's faith. It's the faith of God's elect. Well, all right, I know Rahab had faith. How can I know if I've got this faith? How can I know if I'm one of God's elect? Well, you know, it's easy to find out. It really is. Do you believe God? Do you? Do you have a heart that believes the gospel when you hear it? Do you have a love for the gospel? Do you find yourself needing the gospel and hearing? You need to hear of Christ. If your answer to that question is yes, then my friend, you are one of God's elect. Because this is the faith of God's elect. It's the gift that he gives to everyone he chose to save. It's the faith of God's elect. All right, secondly, Rahab received faith by hearing. Look at the end of verse 11, Joshua chapter 2. She said, "For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and earth beneath. He rules in heaven and earth." Now, how on earth did Rahab know that? How'd she know that? Well, human logic didn't teach it to her, did they? Man's religion, the religion of Jericho, didn't teach her that. She knew that God is God because she heard about him from somebody. Look up at verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And we heard what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we'd heard these things, our hearts didn't melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. She heard. She heard. And if you have saving faith, I tell you how you received it. You received it by hearing the word of God preached. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. You heard, you received faith by hearing the word of God. You received faith in Christ by hearing Christ preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You believed Christ when you heard Christ preached. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You've heard Christ preached, and then you believed him. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This is how faith is received. This is how God gives faith. It's through the preaching of the gospel. If you want God to save you, if you want God to give you faith, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do whatever you have to do to be where the gospel is preached. Because that's how God gives saving faith. That's how he gave it to Rahab, by hearing. Hearing who he is, and she believed. All right, here's the third thing about a harlot's faith. Rahab had faith that repented and begged for mercy. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now everybody in Jericho heard about the God of Israel, didn't they? Everybody, she said, was afraid. There remained no more courage in any man. We're all afraid. But Rahab was the only one who begged for mercy. Everybody else feared, but they didn't beg for mercy. And they perished because they believed not. It wasn't God's fault that they perished, was it? No, they perished because they believed not. It's their own fault. The writer to the Hebrews said they were disobedient. That word disobedient means they believed not. To not believe Christ is to be disobedient. Disobedience that damns us is not disobedience to the law. It's disobedience to believe Christ. That's why they perished. And the fear of the law, the fear of punishment, will never drive anybody to Christ. Only God's grace and God-given faith will drive us to Christ. And God given that kind of faith to Rahab because she begged for mercy. See, that's faith acting again. Faith put into action. She begged for mercy. She deserved to die just as much as everybody else in Jericho. But she repented. She wasn't trusting in the things that she used to trust in. I bet you Rahab probably been in Jericho a good long while. Until she heard of the God of Israel, she felt real safe behind those walls, don't you reckon? They're 30 feet high, 12 feet thick. Most well-defended city in the area. She felt pretty safe. But she didn't trust in those walls anymore, did she? She didn't trust all her lovers to keep her safe. All her customers that came in. She didn't trust them to keep her safe. She turned. That's what repenting is. It's turning. She turned from trusting in those things. and she turned to trust the Lord to deliver her. She knew the Lord was able to deliver her. She knew that. So she begged for mercy. Lord, you're able. Would you save me? Lord, you're able. Would you have mercy upon me? Now, nobody will ever be saved until they repent and beg God for mercy. Nobody will ever be saved until they quit trusting in whatever idol it is that they're trusting in and beg God for mercy. But the only way we'll repent, the only way we'll beg God for mercy, is if God gives us faith and gives us a new nature. And when he does, we'll beg for mercy. We'll repent and we'll beg for mercy. Right? Fourthly, this is a harlot's faith. Rahab had faith that relied on Christ alone, on the blood of Christ alone. Verse 14. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this, our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may you go your way." And the men said unto her, "We'll be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear." We're going to keep our word here. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, and if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we'll be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now these spies made a covenant with Rahab. They said, "When we come back to destroy the city, you hang this scarlet line in the window, and no one under the protection of that scarlet line will suffer any loss." You won't suffer any loss. Not because you're better than anybody else in the city of Jericho. It's because you're under the blood. You're under this scarlet line. You're under the protection of this scarlet line, which is the token of our promise to you. Now, all of that is a picture of God's covenant of grace. And you know the scarlet line represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood of the covenant. It's the blood of Christ that sealed God's covenant of grace. The Father and the Son entered into a covenant of grace, a covenant of salvation. And the Father promised that anybody who's under the blood of Christ, anybody who's washed in the blood of Christ, will not suffer any loss. But they'll be saved alive. And they won't be saved alive because they're better than anybody else. They're going to be saved alive because that's God's promise of grace to them. That anybody under the blood of Christ will be saved alive. God the Son promised in his covenant of grace that he would come and he'd work out a perfect righteousness for his people by obeying the law for them. And he shed his blood to put their sin away. That's God's promise. Those people are going to be saved because of God's promise, the Father's promise, and because of the power of the blood of Christ to save his people, to pay for their sin and cleanse them from all of their sin. It's the blood of Christ that sealed God's covenant of grace. It's the blood. Scripture is full of the blood. Life is in the blood. Atonement for sin is in the blood. Salvation is in the blood. Forgiveness is in the blood. Peace is in the blood. And Rahab's scarlet line pictures the blood that runs all through the Bible. God can only be worshipped through the blood of Christ, as pictured by the blood of Abel's lamb. Salvation, peace with God, can only come through the blood of Christ, which is pictured by all the blood shed on the Day of Atonement. God's justice can only be satisfied in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ shows there's been the death of the perfect substitute for sin. That's what the blood shows. God's justice is satisfied in the blood of Christ, which was pictured in the Passover lamb, the blood shed and the blood applied on the door. And on that first Passover, what did God say? We just sung it. I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, when God's judgment finally arrived at the walls of Jericho, God's judgment passed over Rahab, didn't it? Why? Because she was under the token of the blood of Christ. The spies' covenant was fulfilled. Just like God's covenant of grace was fulfilled. It is being fulfilled right now. Look over a few pages at Joshua 6. Here's the covenant fulfilled. Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and brought her out. They brought all out all her kindred, and they left them without the camp of Israel. Rahab was saved alive because those men kept their word. They kept their promise. And God's people, God's elect, are saved alive because God keeps his promise to save them. And if God's given us saving faith, we will believe just what Rahab believed. That the only hope we have of our sin being forgiven, the only hope we have of God's judgment passing over us, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has already been shed as payment for our sin to satisfy God's justice. If God has given us saving faith, we'll believe just what Rahab believed. The only hope we have of eternal life is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he already died the death I deserve so he can save me alive. And here's saving faith in action again. I always love this. Those spies told Rahab, now we come back in the land. You hang this scarlet line in the window so we'll know, you know, where you're at. We'll save you alive. And they climbed down the wall and ran off into the woods to escape. And right then, Rahab hung that scarlet line window. She didn't wait till Israel was knocking at the door. She immediately hung that line in her window as a public confession. My only hope of life is in the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God's given us faith, we'll confess him. We'll confess him. I'll tell you another way Rahab's faith acted. She invited her family. Come in my house. Be under the blood with me. Come on, there's life. What did she know? I don't know. She knew enough to tell them, get under the blood, didn't she? There's life. Hide with me here under the blood. That's her faith acting. And if God's given us faith, we'll do the same thing. This is how we publicly confess Christ. Like Brother Henry said so many times, if God's given you faith, if God's given you life, if he's done a work of grace in your heart, it'll leak out on you. It'll leak out on you. Because faith acts. All right, here's the fifth thing. This is very important. Rahab had faith that persevered. Remember, those spies told Rahab, anybody in your house, under the blood, they're going to be saved alive. But anybody goes out of your house, they're going to be killed. And their blood will be on their head. It'll be their fault. And when Israel was marching around the city for those 7 days, on that seventh day, they shouted and the walls fell down flat. And the men just marched straight in. Nothing was stopping them. They marched straight into the city and killed every living thing in that city and burned it to the ground. What do you think all that sounded like to Rahab behind closed doors? Oh, it had to be very, very, very frightening. Very frightening. We've got a little dog who is scared to death of thunder. I mean, just the slightest thunder. I can't even describe what it does to him. That had to be what it was like being behind Rahab's door, hearing that judgment outside her door. Frightened, scared to death. But you know what?
They never opened the door and peeked out.
Nope, they stayed behind the door. They stayed in the house. They never said, you know, it's getting a little quiet. It's getting like, sounds like that, all the killing and burning and stuff going on over there. Maybe we can run out and make a run for it. You know, we can be saved by our own, you know, ability to run, how fast we can run. Nope, they didn't make a run for it. Their faith persevered. They stayed under the blood. And because they stayed under the blood, they are saved alive. Now, if God's given us saving faith, I can tell you, assuredly, there will be many times we're scared half to death. But if God's given us saving faith, we'll not run from Christ. We'll not run. We'll not try to make a run for it on our own. The evidence of genuine saving faith is it lasts to the end. It won't quit. Job said, the righteous shall hold his way. He's going to be faithful. He will hold his way. And if we draw back to something other than Christ alone, the writer to the Hebrews says, my soul have no pleasure in them. God, his soul has no pleasure in them that do such a thing. Because God can only be pleased with us in Christ. And saving faith will cling to Christ alone. And won't go outside of Him. Because we know we'll perish outside of Him. But we know we'll be saved alive in Him. Saving faith perseveres. Stays under the blood no matter what. And then lastly, this is the harlot's faith. Rahab had faith that received the promise. She enjoyed all the promises of God to her. Rahab the harlot was saved alive. Just exactly like the men promised her. And that'll happen for every believer. Look over a few pages at Joshua chapter 21. Joshua 21. How it was for Rahab is how it is for every child of God. Joshua 21 verse 45. This is when it was all done. Israel possessed the land. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken of the house of Israel. All came to pass. If you believe God, you will enjoy, you will receive everything God promised His people. But you know what? Rahab got so much more. She received so much more. It was even better than those spies promised her. Because grace always is. I suppose one of the most difficult things about trying to tell someone about salvation in Christ is we can't do it justice, can we? I can't tell it. Human language can't tell it. Grace is always better than what we heard. Rahab the harlot was saved alive. And she didn't live in some slum outside the camp of Israel. There are no degrees of glory. If you believe Christ, you're not going to have to worry about living in some slum in heaven. Somebody else better than you, they're going to have a great big old mansion. You're going to be in a slum. No. Rahab the harlot is listed among the giants of faith. There's Abraham. There's Isaac. There's Jacob. There's David, the man after God's own heart. And Rahab the harlot. All equally loved. All equally saved by the same grace, by the same faith. There's not one whit difference in glory between David, the man after God's own heart, and Rahab the harlot. Because it's all in Christ. Rahab the harlot, she did not remain a scourge of society in Israel. Rahab the harlot married a prince in Israel. She married a man named Salmon. Salmon and Rahab had a son. And they named that bouncing baby boy Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. That's God's grace. It's so much better than I can tell you. God graciously gives life to His people, just like He promised. And then He gives them everything. Gives them everything. Salvation is not a legal document we got saying, I got this document, I can come into glory. I can get into the pearly gates, I got this document. Salvation is not that. Salvation is not just saying, God saved me from burning in hell. Salvation is a relationship with Almighty God, where He makes you a spiritual harlot to be the bride of His Son, to be His child, to enjoy that relationship of love and peace, to enjoy His comforting hand, to have a good hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has, all belongs to His children, all belongs to His bride by His grace through faith. Through faith that He gives harlots like you and me. God help us. Maybe He'd just be pleased to give us that faith this morning. All right, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how can we begin to thank You for this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's salvation in Him, full and free, all given freely by Your grace, purchased with His blood. It's free to us, but it cost Your Son everything. He paid it. He paid the debt with His precious blood, that His people would have everything freely, that You'd make us one with Him. Father, how we thank You. How we thank You for this great gift of faith in Your Son. Father, I pray that You'd grant us faith in Christ this morning. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We trust that the Word of God had been preached this morning. Father, would You give faith in the hearts of those here this morning, that we might leave here as Rahab our sister under the blood, enjoying all the promises of God in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His blessed name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now, if some of you men would set up the tables out in the vestibule so we have a place to put some of our refreshments this evening, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, Mike, you come lead us in a song.
Let's stand and sing 228, and we'll do the chorus after the second verse and the fourth, just 2 and 4.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough. Jesus died, and that he died for.